In Matthew chapter 7, the last few verses of the chapter we want to look at, we read this morning, preached from it, around it, about it this morning. We want to look more into it, I guess, tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer and certainly ask that you would pray for us, God, help us tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. Lord, we need you tonight. We need you to take control of our thoughts, of our heart, our mind, attitudes, actions. We pray, Lord, that we will operate in the realm and under the influence of the Holy Spirit even tonight. I pray you'll use us. Lord, if this awaiting congregation only hears the words of a man, and they will leave unchanged and unchallenged. Lord, if somehow or another they could hear you, you would speak to them. You would deal with their hearts. You would feed them. And Lord, that will stick and it will produce fruit in their life. Have your way tonight, I pray. Preaching, I know, is a spiritual task. And it requires spiritual power and enablement. And Lord, I submit myself to you and I plead the blood of Jesus that you will anoint us with power from on high. Lord, we are not depending upon experience and we're not depending, Lord, upon any physical abilities. But Lord, we're dependent upon you and we'd ask God that you'd help us tonight. Lord, make it easy, make it clear for us to know what you want said. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, I'm just the messenger, Lord. I don't make the message, I just deliver it. And so I pray now for that special unction and power that'll make preaching effective. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In these verses of Scripture, as I made reference this morning, the closing comments, the closing statements of a sermon as we know to be the Sermon on the Mount. That covers chapter 5, 6, and 7, a sermon that Jesus delivered to his disciples upon that mountain that at that period of time. And he comes to the end of this chapter 7, is the concluding remarks of this sermon. And here's what he says, therefore. And I believe, and not just me, I believe I've read other commentators that have made the statement that this word therefore actually reaches back into all of chapter 5, 6, and 7 and hooks up what has been said to what is now fixing to be said. In fact, I believe we see that again when Jesus makes reference in verse 24 when he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And then again, he makes reference in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. And I believe he's making reference to that passage. No doubt about that. Probably indirectly at least. But I believe, and I've seen this afternoon as I was looking over it and looking at it again, there's probably a direct connection to what has just been said. Not just what has been said in chapter 5, 6, and 7, but what has just come off the lips of the Savior in that he dealt with the false professors. as he dealt with those that made claims of Christ, but they weren't not saved. And we see that in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, he makes reference to the true indicator of a person being saved is a person that not only hears, but he does what he hears. In fact, that's what's stated in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 21. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, and I wonder of that many, are there any sitting here tonight? Of that many, I wonder, are there any that are sitting here tonight? Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then he goes right out of that, right into the statement and illustration about the wise man build his house upon the rock and the foolish man build his house upon the sand. No doubt, directly, far as the context, he's talking about their profession of faith. No doubt about it, friend. The man that builds his house upon the rock, he's talking about somebody that's truly born again. He's talking about the man that built his house upon the sand. He's talking about a professor, but not a possessor. In fact, if you take the statement he just got through making in verse 21 and 22 and 3, you will find out probably he's saying this crowd from the human observation, from the church observation, you would think this crowd, surely if anybody was going to make it, they would. If anybody was saved on planet earth, it would be this crowd. After all, they prophesied in his name. They cast out devils. They done many wonderful works. In other words, they were miracle workers. They were preachers. They were miracle workers. And they cast out devils. Anybody that would have saw them would have said, there's Christians. There's people that knows the Lord. There's people right there that'll surely make it to heaven. But Jesus showed very clearly that it wasn't just the profession that makes the difference. They were not built upon the rock. They had built their house, they had built their profession, they had built their testimony upon the sinking sands of a false profession. And in the end, the judgment come, the flood come, representing the judgment of God. And guess what? They did not have what it took. And all of that above ground structure, all of that prophesying in his name, all of that, my friend, casting out devils, and all of that doing many wonderful works, all of that crumbled because it was not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's what's dealt with right here. Are you going to be in for a rude awakening? Do you have the real deal? And I believe I can make this statement tonight that nobody has real Bible claims on salvation that cannot fit in verse 24. According to the way Jesus is laying it out here, he come right out of dealing with the false profession, false prophets, false path, the broad way that leads to destruction. He come right out of dealing with the false path, false prophet, false profession, come right out of that, and he come right into this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. But then he goes right in out of that and said, the man that builds his house on the sand. Is a person that hears but didn't do. Here's the only true sign that a person knows the Lord is that you are a hearer and a doer. According to that verse, that's the sure sign of those that are built and standing upon the rock of ages. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad to be on the rock. I'm glad to be upon the rock. I'm glad of that. Because I know that my future is permanent. I know because, listen, the rock is what's supporting me. I'm not holding the rock up. You know, the Bible said that that house fell not. The one that was on the rock, it fell not. Why? Not because of the structure. Not because of what was built above ground. But what was underground, what was out of sight, was supporting him. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. Amen. If you were to take just what verse 24 says, would that declare you to be a believer tonight? What verse 24 says? Would that declare you to be truly born again? Amen. I mean, think of that crowd said, not everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Amen. God help us. One preacher said the church is the greatest mission field today. A great mission field today. A lot of lost people in it. I was a lost church member and got saved at 20 years old. But that's the context of what's going on. But we started this morning looking at this application out of verse 24 down through verse 27 about the house that was built upon the rock, and how that we as homes represented here, how we need to have our homes built upon the right foundation if we want our houses and our homes, not the physical structure over at a certain address, but our homes, the relationships in the home. If we're wanting that home to survive the upcoming troubles and storms and trials that's going to come against it, my friend, then we've got to have the right foundation. And I believe I can say tonight, in light of that application, your home does not have to crumble. The furtherance and the endurance and the existence of your home does not depend on the absence of storms. We'll do fine. The one whose house built on the sand, Brother Bob, did fine as long as the sun was a-shining. But when the storm hit, my friend, it revealed you have no foundation and you will sink. You will sink. But our homes, my friend, are not exempt from attack, as we pointed out this morning. Let me say a few things about the storm in general, and then we want to look at some other things and we'd be done tonight. First of all, I just want to simply note tonight the equality of the storm. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the equality of the storm is found in verse number 24 and 25 and also verse number 26 and 7. In that the same storm come against the house that was built on the rock as did the house that was built upon the sand. In other words, the storm that would come against you, the winds that would blow and beat against you, the floods that would come against your marriage and against your home, my friend, it has no favorites. Storms of life will not come to your marriage and say, well, I believe I'll pass on them. I believe I'll go around them. I believe I'll not touch them. I believe I'll not come against them. The storm, my friend, has revealed here, the same storm that come against the home that was on the rock is the same storm that come against the home that was on the sand. So there was an equality of the storm. That is, the storm knows no boundaries. The storm has no favorites. Just because you're saved does not move your home into an exemption category. Just because you're born again and you're on the rock, hallelujah, saved and wanting to live for Jesus and building a profession above ground that honors the foundation that you're built on. Oh, you will have storms as well. But the difference is your house doesn't have to crumble. Your house can endure. Your house, your home, your marriage can go forward for the glory of God. Amen. That's right. So I just noted an equality of the storm. And I noted something else about this you could say underneath that point is that the storm is not an indicator of justification or condemnation. So what do you mean? Well, you couldn't just sit back and say, well, they're going through a storm. They must not be saved. You can't say that because the one that was on the rock went through the same thing. Amen? I mean, listen, what's revealed here, Brother Rob, is not the cause of the storm. That's not what's in question here, Brother McCarricker. We're not even just supposed to get in here and say, now why is it that they encountered the storm? The cause of the storm is not the context. It is not the subject. It is not the issue. The issue is the foundation. The storm only manifests and only revealed the foundation. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, in light of what we've been preaching already tonight about the floods and the storms and the wind, projecting the future judgment of God, I'm going to tell you, friend, there's going to come a day that your foundation is going to be laid bare. It won't be what your neighbors and family and friends and church and pastor thinks. It won't be none of that, friend. It'll be one thing and one thing only. What foundation are you built on? What foundation is holding you up? Amen. Amen. God help us. So there was the equality of the storm, and then I noticed the second truth, the simple truth, and that is I noticed the efforts made in preparation for the storm. Both of them. The wise man, a lot of effort, Brother Carroll. I mean, can you imagine the time he spent building that house? Likewise, the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Oh, what preparation. What, my friend, effort was put forth to build their home. I mean, you think about what effort's represented right here tonight in even just in the subject of marriage. Look at the efforts made right here to endure troubles and hardships and trials that would come against your home. I mean, think about that. But all the efforts made, and this is one thing that I think is very interesting that we'll point out about what this wise man, he built his house with the storm in mind. The whole time he labored, he had the storm in mind. That's why he chose the rock to build on. He knew storm was coming. That's why he chose the proper foundation that the flood couldn't move. See, the sands move easily. It don't take much of a current to move the sinking, shifting, unstable sands of time. Build your home, your marriage on that. And my friend, the slightest little financial storm comes will blow you down. The slightest little, my friend, the slightest little problem that'll come in your relationship, and you're going to look around and you say, where did my home go? Oh, if you're building your home, and that should be your desire and mine, to build our home upon Christ, the solid rock. My friend, when the currents come, and the turbulence come, and the winds blow, and the floods come, my friend, we stand. And people look at us and they say, how is your home making it? How in the world have you made it this long? This coming April will be 25 years for me and my wife. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, God's grace has been sufficient. Amen. Amen. I've been thinking about Brother Carroll taking her to Hawaii on her 25th anniversary. And then I've been thinking about going back on her 50th to get her. Amen. Hey, so y'all felt a witness on that, didn't you? Amen. Woo! Amen. We're having a time. But some would look and they say, how in the world have you made it? Have you had storms? Oh, mercy. Have you had winds of opposition? Have you had winds of difficulty blowing against you? Have you had floods of problems come against you? Oh, Lord, help us. Not just me, but others in here, we could about all write a big book. We could probably write volumes of books on it. Amen? But here we are still standing, and that's not to magnify the structure, but to magnify the foundation. Thank God the storm may shake me in and by myself, but it can't shake my foundation. Hallelujah. Woo, I felt something on that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know this is Valentine's weekend, Mars Valentine's Day, and this is a romantic time of the year and all this kind of stuff. And I want to tell you, don't you dare let Hollywood set the standard for you. They hold nothing on the definition of marriage, and they don't even know if a man's supposed to marry a man or not. I mean, they're so warped and crazy, they wouldn't know which ends up. Are you listening? Amen. I'm telling you, we know the inside information. We've got a Bible, hallelujah. We know, brother, that it's one man and one woman. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. That's right. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Are you listening? And there might come a day this old preacher be thrown in jail over preaching like that. Amen. Wonder how many of you would pray for me, all right? Amen. Send me a cookie or something. But there's efforts made. And I thought about this. I wrote this down, that how many people discovered marriage to be less than what they anticipated, that it fell short of their expectation. Wonder how many people thought, man, I can't wait. And you had the wow mentality. Wow, I can't wait. Lay awake at night, can't sleep. You know, waiting that great marriage day. And then after you get married, it went from wow to woe. Woe is me. What have I done? How many people are disappointed? How many people? And I'm gonna give you some myths that I think feeds that. And produces that. But let me give you this. But yet when I look in God's Word, I find that marriage is depicted and defined and described as one of the most edifying, satisfying, gratifying relationships that a human being can encounter. That's right. But how many times you ever hear that side of it? Most time anything you hear about marriage is negative and dark and gloomy. Are you listening? But apart from our relationship with Jesus, there's no other relationship that a human being can encounter and enter that is so enriching and enjoyable and exciting as marriage. But there's some myths involved. I want to say quickly, there are some myths involved that you can just write these down. It's just kind of off the cuff there, but there's some myths that if you're not careful, it'll cause you to build your house on sinking sand. And one of those, I just said, that it is the perfect person myth. In other words, that one that you're planning to say I do and I will too is flawless. I mean, halo, wings, and the whole nine yards. But then after you get married, you found out that that wasn't a halo. There was horns. Huh? Hey, friend, let me just tell you, there was only one perfect person walked this planet, and his name was Jesus. And that boy you're going to marry, that girl you're looking to marry, is not it. And let me just go ahead and tell you, they've got flaws and plenty of them. And let me tell you this, they will not outlive them. A lot of them flaws will be there when they draw their last breath. Why do you think every preacher says to a couple, for better or for worse? Because that's a good indication that it very well may get worse. Say amen right there. So there's the perfect person myth. Then here's another one. You ready? A more perfect person is out there for me. How many people have left that one that they thought was perfect to go after another they think was more perfect? And if you're not careful, you'll start a cycle of hunting perfect people only to be disappointed to find out that none of them's perfect, including you. Amen. Amen. So best thing to do is just stay with what you got. Amen. If you're married, just stay with what you got and pray hard and do the best you can. Amen. So there was a myth. There's a lot of people believe that. There's a lot of people believe that more perfect myth. There's a more perfect person out there. That's right. Amen. And all of Adam's boys got Adam in them. And all of Eve's girls have Eve in them. So there you are. Amen. So here's another myth. Another myth you don't want to build your home on is not the perfect person myth, the more perfect person out there myth. The media myth. You don't want to build your home on what Hollywood and movies and magazines and these romance fiction novels present. That's not reality. That's not reality. Amen. A lot of people is out to build a marriage on the media myth. They want to try to find Mr. Hump that matches up with some photograph they've seen. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. But there is the media myth, and it's what it is. It's just that. It's a myth. I mean, there's people trying to find a mate that matches up with some of them soap opera images. They think that's reality. Isn't that about funny? I mean, that's about as real as wrestling. Say amen, Brother James. But that's, amen. Hollywood wants to paint it up. Hollywood takes them and puts about knee-deep makeup on them, amen, and paints away their flaws and paints up, you know, a different image. And you think, why don't my wife look like that? Amen. You look at some of them, amen, some of that crowd that's in the media presentation. Look at some of that crowd with all that paint and Bondo and all that stuff. And they look like a barn door, amen. That's exactly right. Ain't no naturals there, I promise you. Bet their eye looked like a Kodak camera going off, amen. It's pitiful. Here's another myth, better watch out on, and that is looking around and say everybody that's happy is happy. Or everybody that looks happy is happy. Don't you believe that? There's a lot of people that'll wear a smile, but inwardly they're caged up with misery. Are you listening? That's another one. Here's another one. A religious myth. I'm just running through these. A religious myth. That is, you try to find somebody in church and think, well, they go to church, it's going to be okay. Everything will work out. Let me help you on something. I dealt with it a little bit this morning. There are some heathens that go to church. Amen. There's some heathens that go to church, friend. Don't you think everybody that goes up underneath a steeple and sits on a pew and got a Bible in her lap is saved and love Jesus? No, sir, friend. I guarantee you, the devil will put somebody in church to try to get you. That's right. Some boys, they know, they'll go to church trying to find a decent girl because they know out there ain't not much. They'll think, well, we'll go down to RBT. There's a bunch down there. We'll pick one of them. Amen. They've been preached to and raised up right. We'll go down there. Hey, I want to tell you what's true. Amen. You're treading on thin ice. You're walking dangerous grounds. Come in here like that. Because I tell you what, there might be a daddy in here that'll have some discernment on that issue, along with a preacher might have some discernment on that issue, and we might lead you downstairs and have a word of prayer with you. Amen. If you've ever been flogged by a mother hen, buddy, you mess with some of these young girls and boys in here, and you're very subject to get flogged, amen, in the name of Jesus. That's right. Got to add that to it, you know. That's right. Say amen right there. And on that note, listen, I'm not trying to discourage you young girls and boys. On that note, I'm not definitely saying you need to go outside the church to find one. Oh, no. I mean, why would you want to dig through a trash can to try to find a biscuit? I mean, why? I mean, why would you want to go out there in a world where they don't love God, they care nothing about God, they don't care nothing about church, the Bible, they don't care nothing about nothing that pleases God. Don't go out there looking for one. Amen. Amen. You young girls, make sure that there is at least one left in church that's right. You young boys need to make sure there's at least one young boy left in church that's not going with the flow and not caring about popular opinion, and you're wanting to be a good man, amen, good and solid and settled so you can make a good husband for somebody. Amen. That's some good preaching right there, amen. You young girls, make sure you make a good wife and a good mother for somebody one of these days. Amen. Well, glory. That's the religious myth. And then the hyped up romantic love myth. You say, preacher, what is all of that? And listen, don't think that I need to go to some other country to preach this. But that hyped up romantic love that's not real, that's what's funneled out through pornography. That's what's funneled out through all the Hollywood trash and movies and stuff that shows that side. I want to tell you, friend, that's not in the Bible. That is not real. That is not realistic. Are you listening? I counseled with a couple one time. They didn't go to church here. They didn't go to church here, but I counseled with a couple one time and that lived in this area. And I counseled with them, and when I was in counsel there with them, that she revealed to me in front of him that he was hooked on pornography. And that he was trying to make her be one of them. Are you listening? That is wicked. Are you listening? That's wicked, friend. Amen. Amen. Hey, girls. You looking for a mate one day, you better look real close, look for actions, look for any hint whatsoever that pornography's been in that boy's life, because if it has, I promise you, it's left some dirty footprints in their brain and it'll surface in your relationship. Amen. They may not, the church across town may not preach that, but I'm preaching it. You better look for it. Look for the way they, look for things they're how they're trying to touch you and things they say to you and suggestions they make to you. My friend, it'll surface that they've had their mind in some filth and garbage. There's homes by the hundreds, if not thousands, that are destroyed because of this hyped up, unrealistic, romantic love. Well, we're having a time. I mean, that's that sinking sand business. That's that sinking sand stuff. Let me deal with this. I'm going to be through. I've done preached all my time on that. I want to mention four things. You write them down. The first thing, and I'll give them to you, and I'll go back and deal with them. That way you can keep up with if I'm about done. The first thing I want to deal with is the definition of the foundation. Secondly, the decision of the foundation. Thirdly, the development on the foundation. And number four, the duration of the foundation. So that's what we'll look at tonight as applied to our homes and applied to marriage. The first is the definition of the foundation. What is it in this scripture that defines the foundation? Verse 24 says it. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He that heareth these sayings of mine. And let me say this to you. You can study it out for yourself. Hearing these sayings of mine is not the physical ear. It's hearing it in with your spiritual ear. Hearing it on the inside. Hearing it inwardly. And there's a difference. You hear me tonight with these ears, but you hear the Lord with these ears in your heart. And I want to tell you, He said that crowd that's on the rock, that crowd that'll endure the storm, is that crowd, my friend, that has ears to hear what the Spirit says. Not just hearing or heareth, but doeth them. So he's defining what the foundation is. There's two options. There's only two options of definition. There is the spiritual, verse 24 and 5, and then there's the carnal, Verse 26 and 27. Now your home tonight is built on one of those two foundations. Your home tonight, your marriage is built on that. And you young people that's not married, your home will be built on one or the other. If you build your house, build your home, and your marriage on materialism, that's sinking sand. You build your home on the physical, that as we preached a little bit about this morning, that's sinking sand. If you build your home, my friend, on the financial, oh, help us, Lord. You better believe that is sinking sand. Amen. If you build your house on anything other than the spiritual, and the description for the spiritual is, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's the one that God says is wise. God said, it's wise for you to listen to me and do what I tell you. It's wise for you to do that. He's saying it's wise. And he said, you're like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. So there is the definition. First is a spiritual foundation. Amen. It's not financial. It's not physical. It's not material. It's not monetary. It's not looks. It's spiritual. You ought to be looking for a spirit-filled individual. And we that are married, if our homes is to build on a rock and stand the storms that it's coming against us in these hours, listen, we need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we are spiritual people. And spirituality is measured by your relationship to the Holy Spirit. So there's the definition. First, there is the first option of that definition is there's a spiritual foundation described. Secondly, there is a carnal foundation described. Carnality or flesh living will always lead to the destruction of your home. As I mentioned this morning, the Spirit of God has never busted up a home. The Spirit of God has never done that. The Spirit of God will put your home together and stabilize your home. But sin is what will put a mark in it and will mar it and sin is what does it. That's why we that are married ought to hate sin. Ought to hate sin. Carnality and flesh living. Listen, the worst thing you can do to give the devil the upper hand in your home is to start your spiritual life in decline. Start your spiritual life in a backward, downward direction and you see what happens when the floods come against and the winds blow against your home. Carnality, that flesh living, and it's described here. Listen, it's described here by that crowd that hears but does not do. How many in our churches today hears but don't do? God said, you're foolish. And God says that your house won't stand it and won't make it. So, that we could go on about that. Even Brother Buster last night, let me give you this and I'll go on. Brother Buster last night, you that were there, he's counseled, I believe I heard him say thousands. Didn't he use that term? I believe I heard him say thousands. But anyway, it was a large number of people he said he had counseled with, couples he's counseled with. And he said, out of all of them that he's counseled with, he asked them three questions. Do you read your Bible daily? Do you pray daily? And are you faithful to church? He said, I have yet to have one couple that's having problems to say yes to all three of them questions. Every one of them that is having problems are saying, I don't read my Bible daily, I don't pray every day, and I'm not faithful to church. Amen. Carnality is the worst enemy to your home. Spirituality is the greatest friend of your home. I thought that was good myself. Amen. Let me move on to deal number two, the decision of the foundation. What are you talking about? This is good. This is simple little truth. The storm was not chosen, but the foundation was. That's good. Neither the wise man, Brother Craddock, or the foolish man. They did not select and pick and choose the wind and the flood and the storm and the hard time and the trial. They didn't choose it, but they did choose their mode of preparation. They chose their foundation. The wise man built his house on the rock because he chose the rock to do so. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Why? He chose to do that. He chose to do that. Amen. So the decision, the choice, it's up to you. It's up to you what you're going to build your home on, what foundation you're going to build your home on. It's up to you. That's right. Choose the rock foundation. And you will choose the rock foundation if you got the storm in mind. If you know that this marriage is going, and your marriage, and all of our marriages has, and you that are not married, yours will. All of us will have hard times come again. There'll be trials. There'll be difficulties. There'll be things that you have to deal with. I mean, you didn't choose it. You didn't go looking for it. It's just there. It comes with the package. Amen. It comes with the being married issue. I mean, it just is. The devil hates your home. He hates it. Amen. He hates it. And I want to tell you, you just need to know that there will be a storm that come against your home. So choose to build your home on a spiritual foundation. Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Choose the sand. Choose the sinking sand if you're just going to live for the moment. You're just living for the moment. Man, I'm having a time. We're having a time. Happy am I right now. I'm just tickled to death. And not think nothing about the dark clouds on the horizon. Because the sands work fine in the sunshine. Amen. I'm talking about the decision. The individual needs to choose it. The wife needs to choose it. The husband needs to choose it. Individually, you need to choose that you are going to do your part of having your home to be built on the rock. But there needs to be a collective effort too. There needs to be a camaraderie. There needs to be a husband and wife team. That's why I preach so hard to these young people that are not married. You need to find someone that'll be your helpmeet. That you'll be you'll find somebody that when you say I do too and I will, my friend, guess what? You are finding your completer. You're finding that one that's going to be strong in areas that you're weak. You're trying to find that one that'll complete you. Amen. And that y'all can be one. For the glory of God, amen. So there is a choice in mind. Number three, there's the development of the foundation. The development on the foundation. It's not just that you choose the foundation. There's some responsibility to it. The wise man didn't make the rock. The foolish man didn't make the sand. But the structure that they built on the foundation, they did it. Are you listening? I'm talking about the development. And we all know, even in the house building area now, the subject, the foundation is the most crucial part. And by the way, it is the first part. Nothing is built until the foundation is laid in and put in and in place. Amen. Oh, the development on the foundation. And here's one good little simple truth right here, and I'm going to give it to you. The wise man that built his house, notice this statement, it stuck out to me today. He built his house upon the rock. Not near it. Not even above it. He didn't just say there's a rock down there somewhere. No. He made sure that his house, oh, this is good now. He made sure that his home was contacting the rock. In other words, he didn't want nothing between him and the rock. He didn't want no layer of dirt. He didn't want no layer of nothing else. He wanted it to be nothing but the rock. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, it'll be wise for us to build our homes on the rock. Clear out everything to where that's between us and the rock. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The development upon the foundation. The development upon the foundation. Building upon the foundation. It's good. The decision, the definition, you got two options, you got two choices, the carnal, the spiritual. And sad to say, most marriages today are not built on a spiritual foundation. I'm serious about that. Built on a carnal foundation. Amen. I've even thought tonight, and I know people, some are sick, but I even thought tonight, I wonder how many homes that are not here tonight, needed to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. God help us. But there's a development on the foundation. And then, last of all, number four, there is the duration of the foundation. The duration of the foundation. Here's the thing in order to help us on that. The durability and the endurance of the foundation is the durability of the house. When the storm came, the house of the wise man was superior to the storm. Hey, man. When the storm came to the wise man's house, he was superior. The house was superior. Why? One reason only. Foundation. The storm couldn't move the foundation. And the storm can't move the foundation of the rock. It cannot move the house that's built on the rock. Amen. And so there is the duration. The rock, building your house on the rock, that speaks of that your home is stationary and secure and solid and enduring and lasting and unaffected by circumstances. And you didn't get in to get out. You got in for the long haul. Amen. The sand speaks of that which is shaky and moving and sinking and shifting and easily affected by surroundings and circumstances. How many people have at least thought or blamed the destruction of their home on the storm? How many has blamed the storm for their home breakup? And it's happened. It's happened. We all know people that's happened to. And I love people that's been through that. I don't want them to think that they're second class citizens. Are you listening? But yet at the same time, I'm obligated to preach to those homes here that has not traveled through those waters and preach to these young people that are not yet married. And I need to preach to them and I need to instruct them and I need to warn them and give precaution to them about what not to look at and what to look for. Why? Because that foundation that you're building on, listen, that's going to be your duration, your durability, your endurance. Whether you stand or fall, whether your marriage makes it or not, it's on the foundation. Now, I know what some like to do. They'd like to take a little mixture, a little rock, a little sand. Half and half. That's not it. It's either or. It's not a mixture. Amen. He did not choose the storm, but he chose the foundation. And the foundation of your home is a matter of choice. I want my home to make it. I want my home to endure. Amen. But if you build your house on the sand, definitely it will fall. Amen. It'll fall. So we've been trying to preach tonight, this morning and tonight on the spiritual. The key to survival. If you want your home to survive, you've got to have a spiritual foundation under you. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, as we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace tonight, I'd ask, Lord, that you'd take the very simple and clear truth that we tried to share tonight from the Word of God. Lord, that we would try, dear Lord, to be an example, and that we'd try to preach to this new generation and upcoming generation, Lord, the truth of God, that their home would, future home would be strong and spiritual and stable. And dear God, when the storms blow against it and the hard times come and the trials come and difficulties come, that their home would make it, their home would stand, and they'd just go right on. And when the sunshine follows the storm, their home would still be standing. But it all is dependent upon the foundation instead of the structure. Lord, I pray, that these young girls and young boys will, Lord, be determined in their heart, Lord, to look for somebody first and foremost that is born again, Lord, that is saved, Lord, that's got evidence in their life that they are truly, truly born again Christians. And Lord, I'd ask, please, God, that you'd help us tonight. Oh, help my home. I want my home, Lord, to be an enduring, stable example of what a home should be. And Lord, I pray that you'll look over the homes of our church. Lord, we don't want our homes to be statistics. And Lord, we don't want our homes in this church, Lord, to be used-to-be's and has-been's. And Lord, I just ask, God, that you'd hedge us in and protect us. And Lord, help us to not be foolish. Lord, help us to be wise. And Lord, early in the message tonight, the true interpretation of this text came out as we shown the test of the profession. Lord, there may be some here tonight. They have built their profession. They are building their profession right now upon sinking sands. Sinking sands. Just like that crowd in Matthew 7 that thought because they did this and they were doing that, that they were okay. But you said to that crowd, depart from me. I know you not. I never knew you. Lord, I pray that this people here tonight will search, examine themselves, whether they be in the faith. I pray this crowd tonight will make their calling and election sure. They'll search the scriptures and get it settled most definitely that they are born again. Have your will and your way. Use the message as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.